The devotion for tonight is based on the Old Testament lesson in Isaiah, really just that one verse, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. International tensions have flared. It's past the point of any negotiation. They're coming. They're coming from the north, and no one has been able to stand up against them. We have no way of knowing what that would be like, because nobody has been anywhere near as close to powerful as the United States for such a long time, either in terms of how large our economy is or how large its military is. Now, despite the paranoia of the doomsday preppers on the National Geographic Channel, for us, a foreign invasion just isn't a very large threat in the mind of most Americans. The brute size of our economy and the military, coupled with those big things we call the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, make a foreign invasion a pretty far-fetched reality as far as we are concerned. The closest we could really come to imagining what that would be like would be as if Hitler actually would have conquered Britain and would have invaded the U.S. as his plans were. For the people of Isaiah, when Isaiah prophesied these words in our text, foreign invasion was not just a paranoia. It was a coming reality. Isaiah just got telling the people in the previous chapter, he said, "The Lord is about to bring against Israel the mighty floodwaters of the river, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck." Israel lived in sinful idolatry, led by their sinful, idolatrous king. And Judah, even Judah, the dwelling place of the temple, lived in sinful idolatry, led by their sinful, idolatrous king, Ahaz. Most of them were not worshiping the Lord, the one true God who promised them a savior from sin. Most of them looked at what they worshiped, what they could look at, what their hands could touch, their many idols and idolatry that they had picked up from all the nations around them. Now, they would see if these idols would be able to save them. Now they would see the judgment that hung over them like a deep cloud. Darkness surrounded them like the thick darkness in a pitch black cave. Hold your hand out in front of your face, but you can't see it. Try to grab onto something if you like, but you will have no idea what you're grabbing onto. Try to walk if you want to, but who knows if you'll trip, what you'll trip over, or whether level ground will be in front of you or not. Open your eyes as wide as you like, but you will see nothing. It is this kind of thick, enveloping, consuming, unending darkness that Isaiah is talking about when he talks, saying the people walking in darkness, and he says those living in the land of the shadow of death, which is a bit of a translator's liberty to say shadow of death. Really more true to the original language would be land of deep gloom. Now, don't do what I did when you first look at this text. Don't pass over that picture too quickly when Isaiah says the people walk in darkness. Okay, yeah, they walk in darkness. This is a deep cave-like darkness. I mean, got it. That's true. But consider what Isaiah says again. He says the people walk in darkness. They walk. They go here. They go there. They go back. They go forth. But they don't really know where they're going. They don't even really know what they're looking for. They wouldn't be able to see it if they think they actually found it, because this darkness is gloom. It is a deep enveloping darkness. It is a picture of life without Jesus. Gloom. Deep gloom. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who don't claim to be Christian. They seem to be having a lot of fun. Maybe. But they don't know what selfless love is. Either the selfless love Jesus shows to them, or the selfless love shown to them by people who have Jesus in their heart, or the selfless love they show to people in their own relationships that forms the rock solid foundation of all their relationships. This deep gloom includes the darkness of tragedy that has no silver lining to it, that has no hope to it to help you get through it. This deep gloom includes death that is shrouded in darkness, that comes in darkness and takes whom it pleases in darkness, leaving in its wake deep gloom for everyone to walk in. This deep gloom includes a slavery to sin, a slavery to sinful, selfish, unsatisfying desires that always leave you wanting more, but always find that you have less, and finding little that you are satisfied with. Darkness, deep gloom. This is life without Jesus. Constant wandering, knowing you are walking, but never knowing where you are, knowing you have eyes that are open, but never seeing anything but thick, dark blackness. Have you ever thought of sin this way before? As wandering, searching, trying to find answers. Searching, but never finding anything in the deep gloom that surrounds you. Does that mean you have to feel sorry about those who don't have Jesus? Well, hopefully at least a little bit. But you can definitely have sympathy for them. Does that mean that the people who don't have Jesus aren't really responsible for their sins because they live in this thick, enveloping darkness that they can't change, that surrounds them, that they can't get out of? I mean, they're searching for answers even though they can't find any. Well, no, everyone is responsible for his or her own sin, but out of love for Jesus, you can still try and understand the people he died for. Can you understand why someone sinned? What led to that specific sinful behavior? What specific sinful motivation was behind it? Can you understand that without condoning it? Without seeing sin as any less sinful? Can you do that for someone else? Or we could make that question a little more personal. Can you do that for yourself? Can you take a look at a sinful act, a sinful behavior? Can you try and see why you did it, the motivations that led to it? And while not seeing it as any less sinful, you can still understand why you did it. You can still specifically see where the darkness was, where the darkness is, and where the light of Jesus needs to shine into your heart, the light of love and forgiveness that comes from the baby born in a manger. Can you specifically see the darkness and deep gloom, a specific sin, a specific sinful act in someone else you hurt, in someone who hurt another person. Can you love them and forgive them and let the love and forgiveness of Jesus shine through your heart and shine into their life through the love and forgiveness that you show to them? Can you take time in your day to see a specific sinful act you have done? Understand why you did it and the motivation that led to it. Can you let the light of Jesus shine through your heart and your life so that you can forgive yourself? Christmas is a time where we think about relationships. We go to Christmas parties at work. We have family Christmas parties. People are traveling. People are coming through and we see them. People come to see us. We think of the people that we want to see. Some of the people we're a little less excited to see. Some of the people we wish we could see. Some of the relationships, some of the conversations are really awkward because of the baggage you have between the two of you. But this Christmas season, don't let the gloom, don't let the darkness, don't let it come back. Don't let it settle in. You've been hurt and you've hurt other people. Some things are better left unsaid, but many things need to be said. And this Christmas season, when we have a fresh look at God's promises fulfilled in the manger, with the fresh view of forgiveness in the baby Jesus, speak forgiveness. Speak love. Scatter the darkness. Scatter that deep gloom with Jesus' selfless love. Start with yourself. Forgive yourself. Yes, you confess your sins, but you will not think of yourself negatively because you are someone that Jesus died for. You are someone that Jesus loved. You are someone that Jesus has adopted as his own. If Jesus has forgiven your sins and forgotten your sins, he asks you now to forgive yourself of any wrong you have done and forget the wrongs you have done, the sins he's already forgotten. Now let's move on to the next biggest issue. We can always redouble our efforts to be more forgiving and loving, to speak forgiveness and speak love, but who is that one person in your life that is the most challenging, that you are having the hardest time forgiving and loving? Are you waiting to speak forgiveness and speak love to them until they do that for you? Well, that's not how light shines in the darkness. It just shines uncontrollably, unreservedly on everyone around you. Jesus, from birth to death to life, he shined forgiveness for everyone, light for everyone, and now he shines through you. Speak love. Speak forgiveness. Start with yourself and move on to the most challenging person you know. Shine, 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 shine. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep gloom, a light has dawned. Yes. Light. Jesus shines. And wonder of wonders, Jesus, no longer that baby in the manger, no longer living on earth, Jesus has chosen to do that, to shine. to be the light shining in the darkness. He has chosen to do that through you. Amen.